Well, greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. And the Law Hour is an educational service in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. Now, the Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 75 countries around the world over the Internet. If you'd like more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. Now, the Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, news, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on the CIA and blowback when we come back. You know, when you make $50,000 a year, you pay $7,650 in Social Security taxes. In addition to that, you pay 17% income tax on that same $50,000, and that's another $8,500. Now, you just paid an extra $1,300 by paying your tax on a tax. And that makes the real effective Social Security tax rate 17.8%. It's not the 15.3% that's being advertised. Now, isn't that just real special? Now, if you'd like more information about tax and status, why don't you call us here at the law school? The number is 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Help take a bite out of crime. Call and ask for my free general law CD package. Remember, that's a 4-hour commentary on the law school. It's entertaining, it's educational, it's informative, and best of all, it's free of charge. And tax and status is available on compact disc for adult home education. If you're online, go to our website, georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. Just click onto the email. Send us an email request for that free general law CD package. Again, georgegordon.org or call direct 417-273-4967. Do it right now before you forget. All right, we've been talking about the CIA. We've got a spook here giving us an inside information, which is published in this month's, this is the October 2006, Acres USA news magazine. Actually, it's an agricultural news magazine. It's entitled, The Consequences of Empire, How Blowback and Militarism Are Destroying Our Economy. Well, last time when we broke off in this interview by Acres concerning this fella, Johnson, see what his first name is, kind of an odd name, Chalmers Johnson. He's a professor of international affairs at the University of California in Berkeley. And the Acres people are interviewing him concerning his knowledge of the CIA. Now, he was a CIA spook for, you know, 7 or 8 years, 67, I think, to 73. He was an outside consultant, came in to advise, and here's what we do, and, you know, so on. He was a Cold War warrior. That's what he's called, a Cold War warrior. This is his perspective. When Acres asked the question, they've been accused, that is, the CIA has been accused of actually piloting dope into the United States. Is there anything to that? And this fellow Johnson, the CIA spook, said, I think there's every reason to believe that the CIA did help fund Ronald Reagan's counter-revolutionaries in Nicaragua through the sale of crack cocaine in the United States. And the answer is, yep, yeah, I did that. Hey, I like that. Now, if the Ronald Reagan administration was using the CIA to smuggle crack cocaine into the United States, what does that tell you about the government's war on drugs? You know, that's about as phony as this war on terror, isn't it? I mentioned this the other day, that the total number of people killed here in the United States since 1950, including the Twin Towers. Now, you take the Twin Towers, killed 3,000. From 1950 to the same 2006, the total number of people killed here in the United States is less than 3,500. 3,500. Now, children, the doctor, you know, just your local average everyday garden variety doctor through iatrogenic disease kills 130,000 people nationwide in this country every year. I'm talking about 56 years from 1950 to 2006, 3,500 people have been killed in this country by terrorists. and 130,000 were killed last year by your doctor. And 130,000 are going to be killed again this year by your doctor. And 130,000 were killed in 1995 and 1990 and 1985 by your doctor. You people aren't concerned about how many people are getting killed. The body count's irrelevant. The headlines, though, are exciting. The headlines are really exciting. But the body count isn't. Now, in Acres, he asked this question, did the CIA have any idea the Soviet Union was going to collapse? Now, they were talking about, this is the subject matter when we broke off last time, is the CIA an intelligence-gathering institution? And this CIA spook says, no, their business isn't gathering intelligence. Their business isn't gathering information. Their business is overthrowing government. It is the president's personal SS bodyguard. It's the president's personal army. That's what the CIA is. And that's from a CIA guy. How do you like that? Now, Johnson answers, that was one of the points, talking about the collapse of the Soviet Union. Did the CIA know about that in advance? That's one of my points made by the late Senator Moynihan in his investigation of the CIA. When Moynihan asked, in effect, who needs this $32 billion per year? This agency that costs $32 billion a year that couldn't even detect that its single most important reason for being, our primary opponent, the Soviet Union, was coming apart economically. And when the Soviet Union collapsed economically in 1989, it was as much of a surprise to the CIA as it was to the New York Times and to you and me and everybody else. They didn't have a clue that that's what was happening. And this CIA spook here says, well, now that's understandable, because see, their business isn't in gathering information and intelligence. Their business is in overthrowing governments like Grenada, Chile, and Venezuela, Iran, Iraq, and Afghanistan. He goes on, he says, in the late 80s, you could have found more accurate information on the Soviet Union in the New York Times or Harper's Magazine than by reading any so-called secret intelligence from the CIA. Did you hear that, kids? Here's a CIA spook. And he said, in the 1980s, you could have found more accurate information on the Soviet Union in Harper's Magazine than by reading any so-called secret intelligence coming out of the CIA. And more recently, most of this so-called secret intelligence on Iraq was totally incompetent, and it was essentially fawning attempts by the CIA to placate and to ingratiate itself with the Bush administration. No, the record of the CIA is not particularly good. Its origin goes back to the National Intelligence Act of 1947, and its official stated purpose was to prevent surprise attacks such as the one that occurred in Pearl Harbor in 1941. All right, kids, let me pause right there. Homeland Security. Isn't the purpose for this new $37 billion a year agency called Homeland Security to prevent any further secret attacks by terrorists against the United States? Well, hell, kids, that was the same reason that we used in 1947 to create the CIA, which has nothing to do with intelligence. It doesn't have any more to thing. You know, the CIA doesn't have any more to do with intelligence than Homeland Security has to do with terrorism. That's not the purpose for Homeland Security. And intelligence isn't the purpose for the CIA. It was set up. This is the CIA. Was set up as an intelligence agency. The word central referred to the fact that much of the intelligence available in 1941 that could have warned against the Japanese attack was deeply separated. Hey, isn't that the same reason that we've got the Patriot Act and Homeland Security and this Negroponte briefing the White House and all of this collection of data from the FBI and the Army and Naval Intelligence and the CIA, and all of this intelligence is now being centralized. Okay. Well, isn't that what they did in Germany and Russia? They centralized it in the KGB and the Gestapo. Hey, children, don't you think it's time to wake up and smell the coffee. And then, what's this rendition thing, you know? What's the purpose for kidnapping people off the streets of Italy or France or England or Canada and then spiriting them off in CIA jets called rendition to Jordan, Egypt, or Kazakhstan for torture so that we can get information out of them? Is that what you call intelligence? Huh? Sounds like torture to me. Well, I guess torture produces intelligence, but let me tell you, I've been a victim of torture. Let me describe how this works. Here in the United States, we have a thing called torture, but we don't call that torture. We call it pain compliance. And when we're dealing with the CIA, we don't call that torture. We call it rendition. Got that? Now, here in the United States, here's how that works. I was in jail one day. And this sergeant comes over and says, we're going to take your fingerprints. And I said, you need to get a court order under Rule 30B2 and pursuant to Davis versus Mississippi. And this sergeant says, oh, no, we don't need that. And so he and a couple other guys twisted my arm behind my back. And I had my right hand was closed up in a clenched fist, and I wouldn't open it. See? Now let me tell you how this pain compliance works. You twist George Gordon's arm up behind his back, and the farther up my back it goes, then the looser my fist becomes until my fingers stretch straight out. That's what torture does. And so when you torture people and you say, okay, now tell me the answer to this, that guy will tell you whatever it is you tell him to tell you. If you want him to confess to being Osama bin Laden's personal driver, he will confess to being Osama bin Laden's personal driver. If you want him to confess to planting terrorist bombs, he will confess to planting terrorist bombs. That's what torture gets you. I know. I was there. I understand how that works. When the pain is applied, you'll tell your captors anything they want to hear. I don't know if that's called intelligence or stupidity, but that's what you're going to get. So they tell us, well, we're taking all of these Al-Qaeda guys and we're moving them down here to Guantanamo, and boy, we're questioning them every day. Hell, they've been there for 3 or 4 years. What in the hell do they know about what's going on? Half those guys are illiterate. I don't think they could find Pakistan, Afghanistan, or Kazakhstan on a map at high noon with both hands. Hell, the average American is educated and has letters after his name and couldn't find Pakistan, Kazakhstan, or Afghanistan on a map. What in the hell makes you think that some illiterate Muslim from Afghanistan is going to be locked up in Guantanamo Bay and he's going to give you intelligence? Army intelligence. Come on, it's an oxymoron. Now, the reason for the CIA was to prevent any more Pearl Harbors. Well, my God, if the purpose for the CIA was to prevent a Pearl Harbor, what in the hell do you call 9/11? If that was their purpose, then they failed. And we paid $32 billion a year for that. Let's see how much that is. $32 billion a year from 1947 to 2000. And just the year 2000. Let's try that. So that's 53 years, ain't it? You know, 53, 54 years. So we'll call it 53 years times 32 billion is 1,600,000,000. That's $1,996 billion. You know, in $2,000, 32 billion a year for 53 years is $1,696 billion. That's 1.5. It's more than 1.5 trillion dollars. My God, you'd think that if you paid $1.5 trillion, you could find out something. I'll bet you could have gone over there with $1 billion and bribed Saddam Hussein, for crying out loud, for $1 billion to tell you whether he had any weapons of mass destruction. Now, kids, I don't think you have to spend $1.5 trillion on an agency like the CIA to get that kind of performance. Now, I'm not telling you to abandon it. It's a part of the American way of life. It's a part of the military-industrial complex. I mean, it's as necessary as Martha Stewart, but it doesn't produce any results for the money that you spent. Because when the second Pearl Harbor came on 9/11, you guys were just as surprised at 9/11 as you were with Pearl Harbor, and just as surprised as you're going to be at the next terrorist attack. Hell, they don't know what's going on. And here's a CIA spook that says, and they're not supposed to know what's going on because that ain't their business. Overthrowing governments are their business. But, you know, you can't have a Department of Government overthrow. You people probably wouldn't vote for that. You can't have a Department of War. We used to have that. And people didn't like the War Department. They wanted a, you know, kinder, gentler military organization called the Department of Defense. That's what you got today. So what happens is they come along and they tell you what you want to hear, and then you fund it to the tune of $1.5 trillion over 50 years. But when it gets right down to where push comes to shove and the rubber meets the road, they can't perform any better than Homeland Security is going to perform to prevent the next attack. Now watch what's coming down here, kids. If you paid attention to Matthew 24, Mark 13, and Luke 21. Jesus of Nazareth said, the way of peace they don't know. Jeremiah said, they're crying peace, peace, and there is no peace. Here's a CIA spook says, hey, peace ain't in the cards as long as the CIA is there. Their job is to stir up hate and discontent. And furthermore, kids, that's where all the money's at. The money is in war. There's no money in peace. If peace broke out in the world today, Boeing would go broke. So would Lockheed Martin. All of the big defense contractors would have to scale back to near nothing. What in the hell are you going to do with 12,000 nuclear weapons if peace breaks out? And then all of you people that are engaged in the military and the military-industrial complex are going to be unemployed. We can't have that. Boys and girls, the military-industrial complex is a $500 billion a year industry. You can't just wipe out a $500 billion a year industry. Cancer is a $500 billion a year industry. Boys and girls, we can't have a cure to cancer. The economy would collapse. We need cancer. We need the military-industrial complex. Don't get mad at George Bush for a little war going on in Iraq that stimulates the economy. You people have your heads up the wrong end. George Bush is doing a hell of a job. We're only killing 2 or 3 Americans a day. And I would say, hell, 2 or 3 American dead a day, 30 wounded, you know, every once in a while, is a small price to pay for the stimulating effect that we get from the military-industrial complex. And that's part and parcel with America's economy. And if you want to test that, let's close the military base down in your neck of the woods, shall we? I mean, you know, if you're sitting here complaining about the war in Iraq or Afghanistan, good, let's shut your military base down, say Travis Air Force Base, or McConnell Air Force Base. So just any military base in your neighborhood, let's close it down and then listen to what you've got to say about that closing. Huh? Because that's what this spook is telling us. Now, you don't want to hear that. You don't like the war in Iraq, but you don't want to close the military base, and you don't want to shut down the military-industrial complex. And yeah, we don't like throwing our money away like that, but probably $1.5 trillion on the CIA is money well spent. I mean, I think that's where the average American's going to be. And when we come up to this upcoming election here, if we have election in November, just take a look. You're going to vote the Republicans out and the Democrats in. Hell, the problem started with a Democrat named Franklin Roosevelt, carried on under Harry Truman. The CIA came into being under Harry Truman. Now watch this. When you elect the Democrats, do you think that they're going to repeal the Patriot Act and Homeland Security? No, sir. We will keep the Patriot Act and Homeland Security, and then we can have gun control. You know, I was thinking about those Iraqis the other day. Do you know the Iraqis under Saddam Hussein did not have an income tax, and they didn't have gun control? Damnedest thing I ever heard of, no gun control. Hell, we got 25,000 gun laws here in the United States and an income tax. I think Hussein was miles ahead of where we're at today. And if you think the Democrats are going to repeal any of this Bush administration progress that's been made, I think you got your head up the wrong end of your anatomy. I don't believe that for a minute. Now he goes on, he says it was, this is Johnson now, he says it was in no way coordinated and brought to the president in such a way that a decision could be made. We know, for example, that the FBI in Honolulu observed the Japanese consul burning documents in his backyard days before Pearl Harbor. This was communicated to J. Edgar Hoover, but he didn't tell anybody else about it. So the idea of a central intelligence agency was to bring together all of the data from all of the diverse information collecting agencies of the United States government and then to coordinate it. It seemed like a good idea, except that in the stated purposes of the CIA, the last one is simply and any other activities the president may decide to give them. There's a blank check if I ever heard that. It says, and any other activities the president may decide to give them. So when the president gives the CIA a new order, it says, we're going to call it rendition. And you take these people and you kidnap them off the streets of foreign countries and then take them to other foreign countries to have them tortured so that we can get the intelligence information out of them. We call that rendition. That's the CIA's job. How do you like that? And it only costs $1,696 billion up through the year 2000. You know, if you saw somebody sliding into home base and pulled out a $1,000 bill and then offered it to the empire, you would call that a bribe. Well, that's what's being done all the time in the U.S. Congress, and we call that campaign contributions. Now, I've been saying that for years, boys and girls, but I'm happy to report that this spook from the CIA made that same observation, you know. So here's what's going on. Now, we don't call it torture, we call it rendition. We don't call it bribes, we call it campaign contributions. We don't call it a mercenary army or an SS, we call it the Central Intelligence Agency. We don't have a Department of Government Overthrow, we have a Department of Central Intelligence so that it sounds good, makes us all feel good here as Americans. I mean, we don't want to you know, be labeled as the country that runs around and overthrows governments all over the world now, do we? But that's precisely what it is. And you can't call it what it is. You can't call it, you know, bribery, because you people are familiar with bribery. We can't call it torture. You people are familiar with torture, so we hang another label on it. And then some guy wrote a book here the other day, a guy by the name of Woodward. And he said, the president's in denial. I got news for you. President Bush is not in denial. President Bush is a member of Skull and Bones. Skull and Bones is the number one think tank in the United States. President Bush is on top of everything that is going on worldwide. He doesn't decide this of him by himself. I mean, if you think that the president is running around making all these decisions, you know, with his cabinet, you got your head up the wrong end again. That's done by the Committee of 300. And Henry Kissinger comes over from the Committee of 300 and says, okay, George, this is the new game plan. Here's what we're doing in Iraq next week. The president doesn't know what the hell is going to go on in Iraq any more than you or I do, because he hasn't got his instructions yet from Howard Baker. And Baker's coming in after the elections to tell him, okay, now here's what we're going to do. He'll get his instructions from the Bilderberger Organization and the Committee of 300, along with David Rockefeller and the Trilateral Commission, and the think tank that scores all of the big points and directs operations in the United States is called Skull and Bones, and the president's a member of that. He's an insider, no doubt about it. No doubt about it. Now, you know, God, you know, this guy that nobody over here knows much about. The Apostle Paul made an observation talking to some people over in Greece concerning God, and he said, I want to tell you about the unknown God. I want to tell you about a guy that you never heard of before. Now, you guys have got Zeus and Jupiter and Minerva and Venus. You've got all these gods out here. There's no shortage of gods. There's no shortage of gods today, boys and girls. We've got gods everywhere in the world. But there's a God that you probably hadn't heard very much about. It's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You know, the God of the Bible. The God of the Scripture. Now, this God made an observation. He said, you people don't know the way to peace. And he said, if I don't come in here and interfere in international geopolitics and take world government, world control away from you nitwits, you're all going to kill yourselves. That's what Dr. Edward Teller said clear back in 1957 when he said, we've got enough nuclear capacity to annihilate all life from off this planet 44 times over, and the Russians have about half that, about 20 times that amount. Like I said before, it seemed like to me that, you know, three, four, five times enough nuclear weapons to kill all life from off the planet would seem like to me to be sufficient, but we have now spent $5 trillion in this country. This isn't on defense. This is just on nuclear weapons, kids. I mean, we don't have enough money in this country to fund education or to fund highway building, and we can't pay our national debt. We had $1.6 trillion to spend on overthrowing governments all around the world over the last 50 years. We had $5 trillion to build nuclear weapons with over the last 50 years. But we got a national debt. What's that all about? Why do you need a national debt? Why do you need a CIA? Remember, the purpose for the CIA is to prevent sneak attacks like Pearl Harbor. But, you know, they were totally surprised by 9/11. They didn't have a clue that the Soviet Union was coming unraveled economically and would collapse in 1989. This spook says they didn't know any more than Harper's Magazine knew. And you didn't have to pay Harper's Magazine $1.5 trillion to tell you what they didn't know. But you paid $1.5 trillion for a CIA to tell you that they don't know. And then you got involved in a war over in Iraq. Now, they've spent over there in Iraq now, I think it was $472 billion so far, just a tad under half a trillion. I mean, you're in that war over there 3 years and half a trillion dollars later. What do you got? Democracy in Iraq? Hell, even the generals over there are telling us now, hey, listen, you got a civil war going on over here. We're caught in the middle. There's no hope for democracy. What do you want to do? Shall we stay here and fight to the last man, or shall we retreat now? I mean, this is what you're up against. You can stay there and die, or you can retreat and admit that you got whipped by a bunch of turban-headed sand jockeys that don't have any nuclear weapons at all. Now, how's that going to play out? You guys have spent $5 trillion on nuclear weapons, and you got a bunch of camel jockeys over there that can whip your butts in 3 years. They don't even have a government. They haven't even got enough money for uniforms, for crying out loud. And they can whip you. Which makes me sit here on the sidelines and say, oh my God, and the president's going to attack Iran? You guys are talking about, I heard the president the other day, I don't know if you heard this or not, but the president said when he was talking about North Korea's nuclear test, he said, this is totally unacceptable. We ain't going to sit still for this. I'm sitting over here saying to myself, what in the hell are you going to do to the North Vietnamese, to the North Koreans? You know, those North Koreans have got a million-man army up there. They got a million men up there under arms. You can't even go to the South Koreans' defense. If the North Koreans launched an attack against South Korea in the morning, what would the United States of America do? You're bogged down in Iraq. I don't know. You know, I'm not a military guy. I'm just watching the McNeil-Lehr news report like you are. Doesn't sound very intelligent to me. Then I pick up Acres, and I'm listening to this spook over here, and the spook tells me, hey, this. Let me tell you the story on the CIA. They don't know what's going on either. But then that's not their job, he says. Their job is overthrowing governments, in which he says they are very, very good at. The CIA is very, very good at overthrowing governments. Well, I'm glad that for $1.5 trillion we got something for our money. Hey, you're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, worldwide, over the Internet. For more information about the law school and The Law Hour, please go to our website at georgegordon.org. That's georgegordon.org. Remember, the law school teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. Now, the law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school, and it is open to individuals by prearrangement. The law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. If you'd like more information, go to the homeschooling page on our website at georgegordon.org. The Law Hour website is updated weekly. It has our radio log schedule and archives. It can be accessed through the website. The Law Hour is carried worldwide on the Internet, and all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date. Remember, the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest, and the Law Hour brings you timely reports on law, science, education, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events. And we do that 7 days a week. The law school offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. To order yours, just call the law school at 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, the sources of information that we use on this program are true, accurate, and correct to the best of our knowledge and belief. The Law Hour and editorial review gives credit to those authors and publications that we use on this program, and we often endorse and recommend books, periodicals, papers, and newsletters to our listeners. These endorsements or recommendations that we give out do not mean that those authors or publications that we endorse and recommend are going to reciprocate. And that's because most of these authors and publications that we cite here on the Law Hour are political, religious, economic, sectarian, racial, or ethnic partisans. And their viewpoint is not totally endorsed by the Law Hour and editorial review, or vice versa. Now, the opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine and mine alone. They don't necessarily represent the beliefs and opinions of the advertisers, sponsors, management, or staff of this network or local radio station, so don't blame them, blame me. For more information about the Law Hour and editorial review, please go to our website. Remember, that's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org, or you can call the law school direct. The number here is 417-273-4967. All right, let's give a little credit where credit's due. I wished I was smart enough to write an article like this. I'm not. I'm just a crummy reporter. All I can do is sit here and read this and say, oh my God, I can't believe that this is going on around me. I thought I was smarter than that, but I guess I'm not as smart as I thought I was. So this article that we are reviewing comes from Acres USA. Now, Acres is called the voice of eco agriculture. So if you are interested in the ecology, you're a greenie. And maybe you're a right-wing radical conservative, but you're not a greenie. But you don't like GMO foods, and you want to raise, or you want to grow, or you want to buy, or you want to get involved with organic agriculture. I think this is the voice of organic agriculture. This is the nemesis of Monsanto. Acres, the nemesis of Monsanto. Then Acres is a hell of a publication for you. It's the only one like it. Yeah, it's the only one like it. If there's anything else like Acres USA, it is buried and hidden so well I haven't seen it. And there's not much that we don't see here. We go out of our way here at the law school to seek out information, and we subscribe to all of the major wire services, newspapers, news magazines, We're on the internet continually. You know, we got a computer operator. He just sits here all day long, just scanning and looking for and trying to seek out and find all this crazy lunatic fringe right wing patriot type propaganda. And I've never seen anything like this, Acres USA. Now, there's books written on GMO, and there are greenies out there of all persuasions and stripes, but nothing like this. Now, not only do they talk about the ecology and organics and GMOs and Monsanto, they also write international geopolitical articles. I mean, they write things like we're covering here from this guy Chalmers Johnson. I read this article and said, "Oh my God, this sounds like it came from Bob Chapman, an international forecaster, you know, or the Privateer, some crazy lunatic fringe right wing publication." And they're not quite that far to the right or left, you know. So for you middle of the roaders there, I think this is a real eye opener. It just blew my socks off, so I thought I'm going to review this and blow your socks off. Now, if you'd like a copy of the article so that you can see whether or not I'm lying to you in whole or in part, you should go to Acres. This is the current issue, October 2006. It's volume 36, number 10. Volume 36, number 10. The October 2006 issue. And you can call them on the phone to order one. It's 512-892-4400. They got a web page too. You could go to their web page at www.acresusa.com. Simple enough, acresusa.com. And they'll probably tell you a little about their magazine. Probably tell you what the price is. It's $27 a year. $27. 12 issues, one a month. How many pages are in this thing? 55, 65, 81. It's pretty good size. It's 81, 2, 3, 84 pages. 84 pages. Comes out every month. It has a lot of advertising in it. They support themselves by advertising. But mainly they're advertising to farmers. And they've got a book section in here. Let me spread that out to you. They've got books in here they recommend that you read. Crazy stuff, you know, that average people don't read. But And if you want to know where to buy, sell, and trade organic, you know, if you're looking for a cow, organic grass-fed cow, and you live in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and you don't know where to buy one, I'll bet you if you called Acres, I could tell you. I'll bet you they could put you in contact with people in Pittsburgh or around Pittsburgh. I could tell you, yo, Bob Jones over here, Bob Younger, or Sam Smedley, he's got beef or meat, milk, butter, eggs. Just give them a shot and see if they can do that. Now, it costs $5 for this one issue. If you want one issue, just this October interview, if you send them a letter with $5 in it and say, "Hey, send me a copy of that." They said here that it covers shipping and handling. All right, we are talking about Chalmers Johnson, a CIA spook. And Acres USA, did the CIA have any idea the Soviet Union was going to collapse? He said, no, didn't have a clue. In fact, you could have got more information out of the New York Times than you could have got out of the CIA. Acres asked this question. It's this question. What are you doing to position yourself correctly for what you see directly ahead? God, that's just coming right down the pike, ain't it? I got a class here that I call Subsistence and Survival, and it's based upon 64 life-threatening problems that I see described very graphically in the Bible. In Matthew chapter 24, the Messiah. You know, for all of you holy name people, the Messiah, but for all you Christians out there, normal people, that don't know what his name is, Jesus, you know, he said, hey, gather around, boys and girls, and let me tell you the answer to that riddle. Because his disciples, they came up to him and they said, hey, they asked him the very same question that was just asked here in Acres. Let me read it to you. Let's blow your socks off. This is Matthew 24, Mark 13, Luke 21. When I saw this question by Akers, it says, what are you doing to position yourself correctly for what you see directly ahead? Now that you've told us about what's going on around the world and about what the CIA is doing, smuggling drugs into the United States, which makes a mockery of this war on drugs, now that you're blowing the whistle now on the CIA. Well, Jesus here in Matthew 24 went out and he departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him to show him the temple buildings and the temple. And Jesus said to them, well, do you see not all these things? And truly I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat on the Mount of Olives, his disciples came to him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of your coming and of the end of the world? Huh? Did you get that? Here's Jesus' disciples. They come up to him and say, tell us about the end of the world. Here's Akers, USA. This guy is describing. Here's a CIA spook. He's describing drugs, the war in Iraq, Afghanistan, and CIA, and how it started, military-industrial complex. The guy at Akers says, what are you doing to position yourself correctly for what you see ahead? Johnson says, well, I'm 75 years old. I'm not going anywhere. But I do think it's a serious question for a young or even middle-aged person with children to contemplate the kind of pressures that are going to be put on the United States, almost certainly, as the consequences of our foreign policy for the last 50 years. It's coming back to haunt us. It will not be an easy time for the United States at all. At a bare minimum, a collapse of the American economic system would mean a global recession. It probably would not last that long for the rest of the world, probably a year, maybe two, but the rest of the world could regain its composure, particularly with China as the world's fastest growing economy at well over 10% a year. But here in the United States, it would mean the loss of control of our society. It would become dependent upon the favors from other rich countries, and we would have to learn to cultivate countries like China and India. Did you hear that? We're going to have to cultivate the goodwill of China and India. Boys and girls, those Chinese have never been our best friends now, have they? I mean, I can't ever remember a time. You know, well, I guess I could say, well, during World War II under Chiang Kai-shek, when Chiang Kai-shek and Mao Zedong laid down their arms to cooperatively, or at least independently, fight the Japanese, we were over there on Chiang's side, and then after the war, we sided with Chiang, who later got who got trounced and kicked off of the mainland. Remember, he went out to Formosa. And so the Chinese, you know, and it's a communist society, they haven't been too enthralled with us, and it goes clear back to the British occupation of China. British domination of China. Now, children, you know, we're kissing cousins with the British. You know, we're over there with the British. You know, we're descended from the British. And we got a lot in common with the British. And the British kind of oppressed a lot of people around the world. And I'm sure that they got a bad taste in their mouth for us. In fact, this guy Chalmers Johnson here has asked, why is it that so many people around the world hate us? And he turned the question around and he said, who is it in the world that likes us? Who in the world likes an American? You know, when you're the biggest bully on the block, you can get away with an awful lot, but that doesn't mean that anybody likes you. And if a bigger bully comes along to clean your clock, you can just about bet that all the people that you have been bullying are going to side with the new bully. I mean, you know, what difference does it make to the oppressed what bully is oppressing them? You know, oppression under the Chinese is terrible, and oppression under Saddam Hussein is terrible, and oppression under the Ayatollahs is terrible, and oppression under the Taliban is terrible. Oppression under Hitler, Stalin, Genghis Khan, Mussolini, it's all terrible, isn't it? But you know, kids, when oppression comes here to us, it's going to be just as terrible to us as it was anybody else around the world, isn't it? And this guy Chalmers says, you know, he doesn't know of anybody in the world that likes us. Now, maybe you English guys over there like us, but from what I'm reading in my news reports, you know, when you go out and you talk to the average Englishman in the street, he didn't care too much about Americans either, and especially the Bush administration, and particularly the war in Iraq. He's got a pretty negative opinion. And hell, we're brothers. And when your brothers don't like you, you know, that's getting down to where you're dragging the bottom of the barrel. He goes on and he says, in the wake of events discussed in your blowback book, what would be a little difficult, wouldn't it? Or that would be a little difficult? Johnson says, well, I believe it would be. What would be difficult? It would be difficult to cultivate countries like China and India. Boys and girls, I don't think the Chinese and the Indians are going to come over here and feed us when we're starving. Now we Americans have made a big scene out of going around the world and feeding the starving in Biafra and on the Horn of Africa and Somalia and Ethiopia. I mean, any place in the world where somebody's hungry, you can bet Americans have been there to feed them. Now listen to what's going on here. Recently, over in Africa, three or four countries have rejected United States food aid and told us we would rather starve to death than to have you force this GMO on us. Down in Mexico, I got a report in here the other day. Our Monsanto Corporation went down to Mexico. They've got a location down there in southern Mexico where they've got just about all of the corn, the old open-pollinated corn down there, and they keep planting it and sowing and planting and reaping this GMO corn. Excuse me, the open-pollinated corn. Monsanto went down there, rented some ground and planted this GMO corn down there in Mexico and polluted the open-pollinated corn all around it. America is shipping corn into Mexico, and we mix. See, 40% of the corn in this country is open-pollinated and 60% is GMO. They mix it all together and ship it to Mexico, where the local indigenous population, they're illiterate, they're ignorant, they don't know GMO from MGO or General Motors. And so they take that GMO and they plant it, and they're planting the GMO, and then they're polluting. That is, they're pollinating or cross-pollinating their open-pollinated seed. We are polluting the seed worldwide. Now, that's the science that comes out of the United States of America. Now, when this comes to pass, which it already has, and when these Mexicans find out about that, you think that they're going to just love us, don't you? Huh? I'm telling you, kids, that what your government and what the CIA and what these multinational corporations and these banks are doing in your name, America, they do that, they lie, they steal, they cheat, they screw everybody over, they bully them worldwide. And when our day of reckoning comes, you don't think that they're going to take their pound of flesh right out of your hiney? Mull that one over a little bit. Things aren't going to be too good here. And the Soviet Union collapsed, and America is going to collapse just as certainly as Egypt collapsed, and the Babylonians and the Romans and every empire in the history of the world have all collapsed. We're the last man standing, the United States of America. We're the last man standing in the year 2006. Now bend over and get the Vaseline out, because here it comes. And here's the guy that's telling you. He goes on a step further. He says, in the wake of events discussed in your blowback book, that would be a little difficult to expect China and India to come to our aid. And Johnson says, I believe it would be. I fear that the rest of the world would be no more concerned about the collapse of the United States than they were in 1991 about the collapse of the former USSR. They were interested. They were curious. Some people attempted to exploit it. But there certainly was not any great worrying about the end of the Soviet experiment, or that it made a great deal of difference in the world. I think that blowback is an important term. It's a CIA term. Blowback. It's a CIA term that means retaliation for things that our government has done abroad, things that were kept totally secret from the American public, so that when the retaliation comes, they're totally unprepared for it. They have no way to put it into context to see the cause and effect. When this comes down, ladies and gentlemen, you are going to say, why do these people hate us? That's what Americans are saying today. I see it on the news all the time. In fact, David Brooks made this observation. He said, do you know, the average American doesn't understand why the Muslims hate us. Let me give you a couple of clues. 1938, we go tripping over to Saudi Arabia. These Saudis over here are in a third world backward country in 1938. And I don't remember what oil company it was, but some big oil company, in conjunction with our government, goes over to Saudi Arabia and says, well, listen, we'd like to explore for oil over here. And we're real big-hearted about it. You guys are a bunch of camel jockeys and nomads running around in the desert eating palm dates and figs. And we think we might be able to find some oil. Well, the royal family over there says, well, that sounds like a hell of a neat deal. And so here's the split. We'll search for the oil. We'll bring in our oil rigs. And if we find any oil over here, we'll give you 1/8 of everything we find. 1/8. And they found 35% of the world's oil. And they get 1/8 of it. Which is a lot of money. And the royal Saudi family over there, they're making a lot of money. And I imagine that the average Saudi over there, he doesn't care what the split is. But you know, that oil comes out of the ground over there under 1,600 pounds of pressure, kids. And there's not an oil well over there that they pump a pint of oil out of. They've never pumped a gallon of oil out of any of Saudi Arabia. Not that I know of. I'll put that caveat on there. And all I see is pipes coming out of the ground. And they've got, man, they just open and close the valves. They just say, well, we're going to cut back on production 1 million barrels a month or 1 million barrels a day. And they shut the valve down. Oh, you need another 1 million? They just open the valve up a little wider, and that's all. Now, those Muslims, those Arabs over there have been sent to school. They went to school up in England. They come to school over in the United States. And, you know, they used to be riding around in the desert, you know, on their camels. And today they're driving around in their Mercedes and Rolls Royces. Hell, they can all count. I mean, the last thing you want to do is to let those suckers into our colleges and teach them how to count, because they can see that 7/8 versus 1/8 ain't exactly a fair split. And they're just real incensed about that. And then we go over there to Saddam Hussein's country, and we throw Saddam out, and we take the oil. We went over there, and we brought our oil companies over there, nationalized the oil. And they know about that. See, you Americans might not know how we went over to Iraq and stole their oil, but the Arabs do. And they're just pissed. They're just bombed out of their minds at our blatant theft. Now, I know that you're the average Joe Sixpack, and you live in Austin, Texas, or Los Angeles, California, or Miami, Florida, and it never entered your mind to go over and steal their oil. But Exxon did. Mobil did. Standard Oil, David Rockefeller, Henry Kissinger, those guys, they all had it in their minds to go over and steal that oil, and they did, past tense. And they've got our CIA, our private SS Army, plus our regular Army, plus the Marines, plus the Navy, plus the Air Force, and we're over there stealing their oil, and they're just mad as hell. They don't like that at all. And they're over there fighting for their country, and they're ticked off. And I don't know if you knew that or not, but this CIA spook is telling you, hey, kids, wake up, smell the coffee, let me tell you what's going on here. And the only time that you and I can actually see what's going on is when some whistleblower comes forward and says, hey, listen, let me tell you. You ain't going to get it from David Rockefeller, Howard Baker, or Henry Kissinger, or Condoleezza Rice, or George Bush. You can get it from this guy here. And this guy's name, by the way, is Chalmers Johnson. He's a Navy veteran from the Korean War. He's 75 years old, a longtime Cold War warrior, a CIA spook. He was an advisor there for 6 years during the Vietnam War. He's a professor of international affairs at Berkeley, California, University of California. Gave an interview to Acres USA. It's in the October 2006 Acres. If you want something to blow your socks off, I mean, this guy's finger on the pulse of it. Now, I mentioned to you a little earlier that we teach a class here on subsistence and survival based upon 64 life-threatening problems described in the Scripture. And in Matthew 24, Mark 13, Luke 21, Revelation 6, Deuteronomy 28, and Leviticus 26, those 64 life-threatening problems are laid out in spades for us. I think you ought to be prepared for those. Because the apostles said to the Messiah that they wanted to know what was going to happen at the close of the age. And the Acres USA people wanted to know from this guy, and he didn't claim to be a prophet. Jesus was a prophet. This guy at Acres, he's not a prophet. And this guy Johnson's not a prophet. But he said, oh, I fear that we got some tough times coming. It's called blowback. That's a CIA term. He said, we're just about to get our just desserts, our comeuppance, for the foreign policy that we've been pursuing over the last 50 or 60 years. Acres, USA. Here's their phone number. You can call them at 512-892-4400. Again, that's 512-892-4400. $5 for this one issue. It's the October 2006 issue of the Acres USA news magazine. If you want to go to their website, it's www.acresusa.com. It's an easy one. Just acresusa.com. That phone number again, 512-892-4400. If you want to put a $5 bill in an envelope, send it to P.O. Box 91299 in Austin, Texas. That's Acres USA, P.O. Box 91299, Austin, Texas, 78709. And then put -1299. That's their post office box. Hey, I'm about out of time. I'm going to have to give you a final reminder here that you're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, worldwide over the Internet. And if you'd like more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, please go to our website at georgegordon.org. The Law School is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school, and it is open to individuals by prearrangement. The Law School conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. For more information, go to the homeschooling page on our website at georgegordon.org. The Law Hour is carried worldwide on the Internet, and all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience. The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Time's up. We've got to leave it right there. We'll see you back here tomorrow night, same time, same station. God willing, of course. So until then, thanks for listening, everybody, and good night, friends.